You are listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review Podcast. We find little nuggets, treasures, valuable pieces of gold in the Joe Rogan Experience Podcast and pass them on to you, perhaps expand a little bit. We are not associated with Joe Rogan in any way. Think of us as the Talking Dead to Joe's Walking Dead.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your host, Adam Thorne.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What up?
Actually, not to show off, but coming at you from a beach house in Florida for me this week.
Oh, pretty good. Must be nice, buddy.
Well, we had the gender reveal, so the family wanted to make it a thing. These gender reveals, dude. I mean, I want to get like more into things that other people are into, right? Let's say there's just something that you're not that excited about, but it's like an event that happens in the town. You know, like what's one of the things in Bozeman that happens? The Pea Festival or whatever it's called?
Sweet Pea.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't care for it. Don't care for a bunch of stalls and some juggling and some music. It's like, fine. Nice wooden bowls. I don't want to be that grumpy guy, but it's like, I don't get, but so many other people do, right? People love that.
People love it.
And if it's someone you care about, you want to get into it. And it was a lot like this. I just saw with the gender reveal that it was like, oh, we got to plan this. And then some people have to set this up. And then it's just this, potentially for me, it just seems like a headache. Like something, if it goes wrong, everyone's disappointed. And it's like the baby's going to be whatever the baby is going to be. It's like, we'll find out.
I get that. I get it. But also, isn't it for the women? It's kind of like a baby shower thing, too. I mean, come on. It's for the women.
Am I just being a grumpy old man with this one? Or?
Yeah, it's just the way it is, dude. It's just gender reveals. I don't think the guys care that much. The husbands typically don't care. And, you know, maybe
I'm wrong. It was not a male idea.
It's not a male idea. And that's fine. So we do it for the women. Just like these, you know, this happened when we had before we had our son, when my ex had the baby shower. Oh, it's got to be, for both guys and girls, right? I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to invite any of my friends to a baby shower. Isn't that for women only, mostly? I don't know. I'm not trying to be this macho guy. I'm just not into it. I don't need to go to the baby shower. I thought... that's for women when they, you know, it just seems like a thing that women do. I wasn't into it. I didn't feel like inviting other guy friends of mine, but that's a thing now. You got to include everybody, Adam. Okay.
I'm into it and we should, right? I'm just trying to understand it. And mostly I'm just trying to minimize problems, right? I just want, it's like, hey, there's enough going on. Let's not make this more complicated. Anyway. Welcome to the Mansplaining Podcast with Todd and I, where we explain things poorly because we don't know what we're talking
about. Well, whatever. Maybe some men love baby showers, and that's okay too. But I just sat there and drank, and you know, you talk to people, and you do it for your woman friend or whoever is having the baby. That's who it's for.
It was actually kind of fun. There was fireworks. I was into that.
There you go. So throw in some man shit. Love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So who this week?
Go for it, buddy.
Matt Rife.
He's hilarious.
Dude, he, so back in 2016, when I was doing stand up in LA, I don't think we ever did the same show lineup, but he was definitely on, like playing in a different room, or I'd seen him do stand up a bunch of times. He was like in the circles. He already had a big Instagram. That was one thing about him, because he's like super handsome. So he was around like maybe 100,000 then as kind of an open micer. So he had a lot of momentum behind him, and that got him on good shows. But you know, from any interaction that I briefly saw on the periphery, he was just like this, always very genuine, nice guy. People really liked him, pretty humble, you know, and it weirdly kind of doesn't fit how he looks. it's like often that can kind of bring like a real douchey type energy. He just never had that. He was
not at all.
He's a pretty sweet dude and very funny. He was always a funny guy.
Has his crowd work always been that good? That's what he's known for, right? I mean, just killing crowd.
I mean, crowd work is something developed. You know, he when he was an open mic, he was just telling jokes, you know, everyone does. But if you lean into that, it's kind of like the school of thinking that like Andrew Schultz does. You know, he really works a lot of crowd work. Chappelle's always like that. It's the best way to get really comfortable with stand-up. And right. Matt's done a great job leaning into it. It's a brave thing to do. And obviously it develops your skills really effectively. Because there's like different schools of thought too. There's some people that are like purists and joke writers. So they really don't want the distraction of the crowd. You know, they don't want to get into it. They shy away from it. And then they just really focus on their jokes. And, you know, there's a great avenue to get very good at comedy doing that too. But I think that you want to, I would always recommend pushing in any direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's something you're less comfortable with, lean into it for a bit. See what happens. You don't know what kind of comedy skills you'll develop if you do that. And if for people like Andrew Schultz, I mean, wow. It's like, dude, you could just plop him in the center of any party in the country and he would just, you know, roast half the people and just go to town. It's kind of like free material. And a lot of times in a comedy set, when you're watching it, really good crowd work is like your favorite part of it.
Because
it just seems very genuine.
Yep.
And
absolutely. It's more fun because you know it's off the cuff. So you can tell. It just makes you realize how much more fun a live show is, I think, when people are doing crowd work, you know?
Yeah, well, think about Harlan Williams when we were at the Comedy Mothership.
Unreal.
Now, you had seen him on some shows, and you were like, oh, he's kind of funny. But remember, it's like you're thinking of him in terms of the movies he's been in.
Totally.
Right? Which doesn't really represent his stand-up.
Well, and he's always kind of weird in those movies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's always a weirdo. They make him like the creepy guy working at a gas station or something because exactly. He's just so odd. But one thing he did at the Comedy Mothership that was really impressive is it seemed like he was doing crowd work because he would ask someone's name and then he would like focus attention on them. And then he would just rip on them with these like off the wall comments.
Yeah.
But if you really think of what he was doing, he already had that stuff lined up. It didn't really matter how they responded. He was completely able to control like the moment. Because he's like, hey, do you mind just smashing your head down on your table? I don't want to look at your face anymore. It's like he already has that in the bag. It doesn't matter who the person is or what they do. Genius.
Yeah,
stuff.
he knew what he was gonna say. So yeah, that was crowd work specifically for a routine that he had already done a million times, right? When you see it live, it's hilarious.
But he also did another thing that was very funny is he'd ask someone what they do, and if they came back at him like, oh, I work in accounting. If it was just something that he just didn't think he could build off, he'd be like, all right, boring, and then just go jump straight to the next person. He didn't waste any time.
Which is so smart because he's just waiting for somebody to say the right thing that he already has a one-liner for lined up, ready to go.
100%.
You think Reif does that too?
Probably. I mean, you know, he's newer to the game. I mean, Holland is OG. He's been doing stand-up OG for 30-plus years. Matt's obviously much newer, but, you know, and also – he's still in the practice of really expanding his skill set. And, you know, he probably would push himself and try and pull something good out of a boring topic just to see if he could, right? It's like a challenge. That's how people get better. You know, they don't shy away from it. It's like, this is the topic you're given. Tough. Figure it out. Make it funny. Very hard to do. And I respect that.
Well, let's get into the notes for a second here. We got, I didn't realize he was an insomniac. Okay. That is, I just cannot imagine. My mother was an insomniac. It drove her crazy. how do you go on day in, day out, especially when you're on the road and not sleep? I mean, that is just unbelievable. So poor guy.
He didn't look tired.
No.
He didn't act tired. Maybe he's that used to it, but my God, the toll that must be taken on him.
Unreal.
What did he say? He did 9 days straight once?
Without sleeping.
I can't even fathom that.
You would start hallucinating for sure after day like three of non-sleep.
And it's not like he's not trying to do things. The guy's in great shape. So he's clearly working out a ton, which is definitely recommended if you're not sleeping well. One, reduces stress. Two, your body runs more efficiently. And three, it should be tiring you out so you can get some fucking sleep.
Totally.
Doesn't seem to be working.
Yeah, so I hope he figures it out, man. Give him some CBD or some different kind of weed. I don't know. I don't know how to help him, but I hope he figures it out.
Well, he smoked a shitload of weed on that podcast.
Yes, they did.
Rogan,
yes.
And he kept it together. So he's obviously used to that. But maybe, you know, maybe that helps him kind of calm down. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's mostly anxiety.
Totally.
That is going to do that.
But he
right?
said he
so
wasn't anxious.
Going on.
He said he wasn't. So that's hard to believe.
What? It's hard to believe that he's not anxious.
Exactly. He was blaming it on his mind always moving 100 times faster than, you know, as people are talking or as he's sleeping, which in my mind is a very ADHD issue, but not being able to turn off his brain when he tries to go to sleep. He's always thinking about a joke or he's, you know, thinking about something random for no reason, like, you know, why... What was he talking about? Otters and, you know, ghosts and mermaids. I mean, the guy clearly thinks about random shit all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, and look, maybe it is just like such excitement for life that he's just always in the state of thinking. But, you know, I'm not a fucking psychologist. I don't know. But it does sound a little bit like there's some anxiety there. I mean, look, there's a lot of pressure on a young guy that's as popular as he is. Millions of views on YouTube and tons of followers on Instagram. He's blowing up. He's touring everywhere. You know, doesn't drink. So he's really working hard to keep himself focused. Fair play to him.
Nice work.
And it's just a lot of pressure. So maybe maybe it just take a bit of time to kind of ease into it.
Well, and he said himself and he'd rather have a family in the 90s, right? He's like, I wish I was born in 62. To me, that makes me think that he's anxious all the time. He said to himself he hates social media, right? He can't stand it, but he appreciates it. And obviously this TikTok game is stellar because that's how he's gotten so many fans, right? I mean, including because he's also funny and good looking. So obviously that helps. But he's hilarious. But without the social media game that he's had, and he didn't mention if anyone was helping him do it. I think he's been doing it all on his own. He seems like a self-taught guy in that respect. And fuck yeah. I mean, good for him, but he says he hates it. He just can't stand it. So to me, that seems like there's a lot of anxiety there, right? Whether he wants to admit it or not there's a bit of an ego war going on there in my mind, you know, how could he not?
It's like he probably, he's doing the smart thing is what it sounds like. Try and stay away from him as much as you can. Like, that's way too much attention for people to be having. It's a lot of attention to deal with. And the more you can separate from like, all right, I'll post a funny video and then walk away from it. Right. He said he's not on TikTok all day. He doesn't use it, but he just posts and goes.
Right. Good.
It's probably a smart move. You know, you gotta stay a bit disconnected. Otherwise, I mean, he also mentioned it with his touring. You know, right now he's touring so hard that how is he gonna write his new hour?
Right.
Because all it's gonna be is like you know, how many times have we heard comedians do like airport jokes, right? Or being on a plane. It's like all of them have done it, and it's because at some point in their career, that's mostly what they're doing is going to shitty hotels,
right?
Crummy comedy clubs. And being away from everybody and going on flights. Right. So it's like, where do I even find my jokes? I'm not even having experiences.
That's why the crowd work, that's where that comes in, because yeah, you can't just talk about the same thing over and over and over. And when you're on the road, you're doing the same shit. And especially if he doesn't drink, I mean, where do you get your stories from the bar? Is he still going to the bars and just not drinking? You gotta get some stories there.
It sounded like he doesn't really go out, you know? Like, he talked about how a club will be like, hey, we're going to host you and set you up, and this is going to be awesome, and a bunch of people can see you, and he just kind of wants to go home, go to sleep.
Yeah.
And or whatever.
Try to sleep. Out. Try to sleep.
Try to sleep. Lay still in bed for a while.
Definitely gave Rogan some shit about playing video games. Quake 2.
That was funny. Yeah. He definitely thought Rogan was a nerd for that. Oh, he's like, what?
Such a nerd.
What are you doing, nerd?
Such a nerd. And I mean,
it's just anything that you can, like, competition that you can get obsessed about. I mean, Rogan's going to be on it, dude. It's why he always tells Jamie he doesn't want to play golf. Of course. You got to be careful, man. If you're like that kind of obsessive nature, it's like you almost don't want to find things you're going to be interested in, because it's going to take up so much of your time.
It takes away from so many other things that you need to be doing, right?
Yeah, or maybe it adds a skill that's really useful, but you can get maxed out. And when you have a family, you got to be real careful about that, obviously.
Right.
You gotta find some relaxing. What do you think about his ghost hunting and like being into that? So he's
that's
gone
cool.
Like kind of all over the world with this.
Yeah, seems way into it.
Yeah.
I think it's great, man. Look, I believe in ghosts. I've had some experiences with ghosts, not going to lie. My ex was a medium, basically, when she got drunk. I'm not kidding. I used to think it was bullshit, and then I had some experiences where, you know, you feel cold, right? You're like walking up, you're in like an old building, and you're walking up some stairs, or an old hotel is where I had an experience where I got really cold, and it was like middle of August, super hot outside. And I just felt this really cold air. And then she told me that a ghost was talking to her. And anyways, I've had experiences where I was freaking out. And I felt the presence of something else, whatever that is. Something was going on. And so I get it. I get that it would be cool. I sure as fuck wouldn't want to go into some old haunted place and sit around with those little EFTs or whatever those are called, the sound machine things. No way, dude. That shit freaks me out. I'm not trying to hear ghosts, you know, on purpose. Like, why?
I felt like Rogan had a good kind of theory when it came to what was happening. And it was almost like, okay, so you take someone that believes a lot in this and you put them in a house, and it almost opens this like frequency or a portal for anything that they're there. It's like they're more tuned in to the ability to perceive what's happening, or maybe the ghosts have a better opportunity of like speaking to them because of some like wavelength that they both tuned into. Whereas if you take a skeptic or someone that just is not thinking about ghosts at all, and then all of a sudden it gets a bit cold, they're like, oh, there must be a window open. It's just like you just immediately don't think about it, and there's no connection for even if there is an entity there for them to kind of show themselves, right? I mean, obviously it's all theories and whatever, but that one I kind of liked. It's like, it's almost like voodoo. It can't affect you if you don't believe in it. It's just like stuff going on. You're like, whatever.
Yeah, hard to say, because I am a believer in ghosts, because I have had those experiences for sure. I, you know, felt a presence. Definitely. So, but yeah, I don't understand the want or the need to go search for it, especially if you already believe in it. It's like, okay, you're just trying to scare yourself. It's not a happy experience when a ghost, when you, at least in my experience, I've never was stoked that I felt another presence. It fucking freaked me out.
But it could be real exciting, right? Like adrenaline fueled, like, whoa, what was that noise? And then like, you got a group of people there that are really into it.
Totally.
I mean, you know, you could just, I remember one time I was in New Mexico and we went out to this land near Moriarty, which is like out in the sticks. And it's where we went to high school. And we went up to this area of land. I guess one of the guys I was with, we were with like a lot of the guys on the football team. And so like big dudes for high school. And, you know, which you'd imagine, like, they're the brave ones, right? Mm. So there was a lot of that, like, bro energy going on. And we go up to this old, like, little house that was probably, like, 60 years old. Nobody lived there. It was tiny. You know, it was, like, something that you'd imagine is just, like, on a tiny ranch, and it's where somebody lived in the freaking Dust Bowl or whatever. So we go up to this house. It looked creepy as hell. It's nighttime. And we woke up and we're like, oh yeah, it was like, we're kind of getting in the energy of like, man, imagine people that lived here. I wonder if people died here. Like, we're kind of like scaring each other, but it's yeah. high school stuff.
Yeah.
And then one of the big football players like kicks the door to open it. Right. And the door opens and there's this pause. And then all of a sudden the door just slams on us. Ooh. And I mean, it, dude, it slammed.
Nice.
I have never seen these guys who were like the biggest dudes in high school shit themselves so hard. It was hilarious.
That's great.
They ran like a poltergeist was going to kill them.
Love that.
Nobody would go back to the house. We were like hiding behind these bushes, which was ridiculous. Anyway, 5 minutes goes by. We actually walk back over to the house because like now we want to see what it was. Turns out there was an old mattress frame, like a bed frame up against the door. So what happened is as it kicked the door,
just slammed it right back.
The bed frame just kind of leant back, and then it was so heavy it rocked forward again. It was just the timing on it was just so
gotcha.
But it kind of showed something to me. It was like everyone was already in the ready to be spooked out kind of
totally
energy. So we were looking for anything to scare us. So yeah. It only had to be something that was just a little bit off and we could just expand it out. I mean, we were fucking sure there was like yeah. a ghost in there for a second.
Yeah, because the timing, the way you kicked it open, it didn't just slam right back. It actually took a second.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed realistic. The timing was correct.
The door opened a bit and stopped.
Yeah.
And then just went crack.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That
so I
awesome.
Get it. I get the excitement and like wanting to do it. I guess just because he's like, how old is this guy?
We talking so Matt Rife? He's like 28.
Okay. So yeah, maybe it's just like the age thing that I'm like, all right, still in the ghost, huh? Yeah, 28. He's 28.
I mean, like I said.
Well, there's worse things you could do with your time, I'm sure.
It's all good. It's all good. I just hope the guy can figure out how to sleep.
Up and, well, probably stop hunting ghosts and you might be able to sleep a little bit.
All right. So we need to touch on this before we move on. But
go ahead.
This whole we need to make lying impossible before the digital currency. That's a big one.
Oh, genius.
We got to figure this out. How do we figure out how to know if people are lying or not? I mean, once that happens, that's going to change the world. Can't wait. Can't wait for that to actually happen because, man, if we know that people are lying and we have mind reading software, that is going to change so much corruption in this world. It's almost scary how much that would change things. And I know Rogan's talked about this a lot.
It was a genius idea. I don't know if this is Rogan's idea or if like Elon is feeding him this or other people are, but it makes a lot of sense. It's like, we're going to be duped with a bunch of bullshit agendas that we can't feed, you know, we can't kind of work through if we don't have the ability to be like, okay, somebody tells you something, you get to plug into a machine or some AI system, and it's like, there's a 78% chance this person has an agenda and what they're saying is bullshit. Mm,
love that.
It's just gonna wreck people's ability to manipulate others for their own doings, you know, and there's still going to be plenty of room for error, you know. For example, like take flat earthers, some of them might 100% think they're telling the truth and
absolutely
believe it, right? It doesn't make what they're talking about true, it's just they believe it, right? So you can at least trust that they're not lying, even if their information is not that accurate. Well, but that's a better place to be in than somebody that's truly trying to manipulate a system. And then they're telling you, oh yeah, you got to do this and that and vote this way. And, you know,
well, you think about, in my mind, there's so many politicians out there who are just lying through their teeth all the time to get votes. And as soon as we can tell if they're actually telling the truth or not, and we're actually fact checking those things with a non-biased fact checking software, or maybe it's just a part of the software that is now connected to our brains, just like phones are in our hands 24/7.
Yeah. Keep expanding should on be, this point. I have
should be interesting though, man. It's like, it just, it could really change the way the world operates. I mean, he's always talking about how, Rogan's always talking about how if you could end wars, you know, it would be easy to end wars if you weren't making money off of war. But if you are to know, if everyone knows that, you know, given $80 billion to whichever war we're trying to start, if we just know that that's to make money from contractors and the rebuilding of society, gets a little scary. In a good way. I mean, I think it's interesting, and it's going to be fun to see. It's going to be fun to see what happens.
Dude, Neuralink. Well, first off, I have to apologize if my mic picked up any of that pee. but the
I didn't hear it.
Neuralink is now in human trials.
Awesome.
So I don't know if like his ultimate goal is to make like an honesty machine, but I've got a feeling that the capabilities of Neuralink extrapolated out over time, it's like, it's endless what it could do. Like, we're talking like record your dreams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Love that.
Like, analyze your thinking. Like, imagine if there's a time where you could put on a headset and it's like, it gives you a readout. It's like, you are 65% pessimistic and your goals are not organized well.
Right,
and
right.
You're quite negative. It like just gives you a real readout of the state of being that you are. It's like, that could be possible, and it might be super useful. It's like, you don't have to choose to like always listen to it, but it's like giving you clues on your behavior.
Yeah, I mean, good. Hopefully it helps. I mean, look, there's always ways we can use technology to help or hurt us, right? It's been like that forever. You know, you could use technology to make a bomb, or, you know, get rid of bombs, and
or you could make technology such as OnlyFans that takes in $2 billion a year.
Oh yeah,
which is also something they touched on, and it's like, wait a minute, how much?
2.5 billion, I believe it was. I think it was 2.5. Let me see what my notes say.
God, yeah. OnlyFans
in 1 year they brought in 2.5 billion. They only take 10%. That's still a lot of money. That's still 250 mil.
Yeah. Just to mostly look at people's butts.
And feet.
I'm into it. Last thing I want to touch on with that one, they talked about cult leaders. You know, a cult leader is like someone that wants control over others. Yeah?
I think
and
mostly.
Like they're problematic. Cults exist. They usually end up being poorly designed. They fuck everyone's wives.
There's some narcissism going on in pretty much every cult leader, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And talking about like banging everyone's wives, I mean, you know, we know some people like that, don't we, Todd? it's a slippery slope to go down. You gotta be careful. And I think it's important to like point that out to people when they're doing it before they get into the world of cult leading.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to say about that, buddy? Don't start a cult, or don't get into a cult.
If you have the tendency to be a cult leader, don't do it.
Well,
that shit's pathetic.
Hey, when this anti-lying technology comes out and we can know what cult leaders are actually thinking in the back of their minds, and we're reading their minds, then maybe people won't join the cult. There you go.
That's true. I don't think we need mind reading technology for that, though. Just don't join any cults. How about that?
That's smart.
All right, let's jump over to, finish up. Matt Rife, hilarious guy, super sweet, good podcast. I wish they had gone on a bit longer. They kind of cut it off. Maybe they had some shit to do. It was only like 2 hours, but hopefully he'll be back on, and I'm curious to see how his career progresses. And
And he seems genuinely like a good dude.
Absolutely.
Right? We're not gonna, you know, I doubt we're gonna find out in a couple of years that he's like crystalleered a bunch of girls and done any weird stuff. He seems
Seems like a good dude. He seems to be a caring guy. But I will say, watch some of his crowd work, because I went on YouTube before this pod and watched some of his stuff because I wasn't super familiar with him, and I was laughing my ass off. He's funny.
Oh, dude, he's funny.
He's funny
as hell, man.
So check him out.
He's got some great videos. Yeah, jumping over to another good comedian, Brian Simpson.
Brian
obviously is good friends with Rogan. He's been at the Comedy Mothership for some time. I got to see him perform there, which was awesome. He was brilliant. It's the first time I'd seen him live, and he is very, very good.
Yeah, smart
dude. He has a cool style. He comes out pretty chill. He really, like, controls the energy. Like, he doesn't mind waiting a little bit to kind of build up to something here, like, get into a story. And he's not out there to kind of, like, break the ice, right? A lot of comedians will, like, to get out, get a punchline immediately.
Yeah,
just to feel comfortable and then go. Brian is a professional comedian for sure.
Well, he's himself, and he's not trying to be a fake guy. He is just himself, wholeheartedly. He just seems like a very genuine dude. He doesn't want to please everyone or be everything to everyone. And he said it right at the beginning: just don't be fake. Don't be fake, man. Why are you trying to be fake?
He has a good grasp on his, like, moral compass, I think.
Totally.
And what it means, you know, how he wants to be in the world. And he's not about compromising with it. He's like, this is what I am, and I believe that it's good. He's also super curious. They got into all kinds of different things.
Buddy.
I liked his thinking on it.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Beyonce's show, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, Marlon Brando going crazy. I love his bit about how black people always say some cool shit like 10 years before everybody else, and then their black parents ruin it for them, but then it doesn't even get to the white people for another 10 years. And then they think it's cool, like saying cap. He's like, "Dude, black people have been saying cap for 20 years now. You guys, all you white motherfuckers just ruined it." He's like,
it's like when all your friends start listening to Nirvana, but back in like 94 you were the only one that had a mixtape for a while, and then you get annoyed. You're like, oh, they're getting too popular, I can't be a part of this anymore.
Yeah
he has a great knack for like turning just any story into something very funny. And even with, like, he's not super joke all the time on Rogan's podcast.
No.
But you can see the thought process. You know, he takes something that he, like, has observed that he thinks is important, and he just slowly start unwinding it into, like, why it's silly or, like, how it's perceived. And it's definitely his, like, joke writing brain. You can kind of watch his ideas. Like, by the end of a lot of what he said, I'm like, oh, he could definitely make a bit out of that. He can make something funny out of, like, what he just went through.
Well, he's really smart.
Oh, for sure.
You could just tell. I mean, the conversation flowed smoothly. He, you know, he has a lot going on in his head, and I feel like he's always not overthinking, but he's choosing wisely what he says. You know, he takes a minute to respond. What'd you think about this whole, you know, depression being in your genes and, you know, anorexia being in your genes? 80% of anorexics, or that's a gene problem, right? You're more likely to get it. I mean, they were like 80%. And I did think it was funny. There's no body positivity movement for anorexia. It's not like people are like, oh, it's okay. They just look like a skeleton.
Yeah,
not to laugh at that. Well, I'm sorry. I know it's an issue. It's obviously a huge issue.
Yeah. Well, we're just pointing out, like, the absurdity of any type of response to something,
right?
You know what is interesting about, and unfortunate as well, about anorexia is it's the most dangerous mental disorder.
Mm.
Believe it or not,
yeah, kills more people, uh-huh. Right?
Yeah, I mean, you could be as schizophrenic as you can imagine, and it's, you know, less likely to result in your death. It's like you can be real crazy. But sadly, that one, because you're restricting just some of the most important stuff that you got to put in your body, right? Apart from breathing, it's just food. Mm. And yeah, they just starve themselves.
It's sad. It is sad. All right. And then we move on to the Electoral College. You know, it is a little crazy, again, that Mr. Trump beat Hillary, even though she had 3 million more votes. That was something that Brian, I couldn't really, it seemed like he was for the Electoral College, and I get it. I get that, you know, it has to be set up that way. The gerrymandering they didn't talk about, I wish they would have talked more about gerrymandering, because I think that screws up the Electoral College, which is why I'm more for on the side of popular vote. But, you know, I'm glad they didn't get too much into politics, but you could tell that Brian, I feel like he knew his stance on the Electoral College very quickly. The cloud seeding in Abu Dhabi, I forgot that they're doing that, dude. Making it rain once a week.
Oh, they've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, totally forgot.
Yeah,
about
what do
that.
They use? Like silver, some sort of. Oh no, not silver.
It's some sort of iodine or aluminum cloud seeding. Yeah, creates more water particles in the air when you drop it.
Or makes them stick together. I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's like wild, dude.
And what about?
But it makes you think, like, hey, we like then do you breathe in all the fucking aluminum? That doesn't sound good.
Of course, you do. It's some sort of silver, like iodine. I don't even know. It's not good for you.
Oh, let's look it up. We're sounding so stupid.
It's not good for you. But you know, they talk about the cloud seeding. They go into this Eric Heckler guy, who is now saying that there's some sort of death ray. Underground.
Oh, you're
in
right.
The South
silver.
Pole.
Sorry, silver iodide.
Silver iodide. Thank you. I was correct.
That's what they use.
People.
All right.
What silver. Up?
Oh yeah, the death. Like what? What was that? So
he's saying that
it's
there was
a South Pole direct energy weapon.
That's what he's saying. Kilometer wide, kilometer deep, kilometer tall. Wait,
I don't
tall
know what
wide,
to believe, dude.
I don't know either.
It's a big it's a big square, I think.
It's a cube.
It's a big
cube.
Big cube. It's cubey.
Yeah, I don't know what to think.
I mean,
I took some notes to go back and try to figure out what this guy is talking about, a neutrino detector array.
Huh. Yeah, and he said that it caused the earthquakes in New Zealand. It's like, wait, what?
I don't know, man.
Are we sure?
I don't know what to believe anymore. I mean, Rogan had a good point. If that was actually going on, you would want some dude like this who seems completely crazy to come out and talk about it, because then you can just think that then people just think that it's some crazy guy talking about it, and you forget that it could actually be a real thing because some crazy dude started talking about it, and it just makes it seem silly. So,
right.
I don't know,
yeah,
buddy.
I mean, that's potentially a good cover-up scenario that you could put into place, you know, bit of damage control. Just have some people that seem wacko saying some crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know, I do struggle with the idea, like, that seems like such a powerful capability that's, like, kind of out of the scope of what it's likely that we're capable of doing. And then
is
just
it?
To have
is
this
it
guy,
though?
I don't know. Causing earthquakes seems like a difficult thing to be able to do.
Okay.
And
I mean, we can make it rain. We can make it rain, dude.
True.
And not just dollar bills.
Drake. Gotta love it.
What about
maybe, but.
Yeah. Look, again, I personally believe that we can do a lot more things than we are letting people, you know, we're capable of much more than we lead on, right? We don't want people to know the capabilities we have. But maybe. Then I look at, you know, some of these older conversations we've had plenty of times with Rogan, where is our government really smart enough to keep this kind of stuff hidden? And I don't think they are. So you would think there would be more people coming out and talking about it if it was actually true. So
yeah.
There's that as well.
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how good, you know, or kind and like generous and people loving your government is. if a different government makes a machine that can make volcanoes explode, you can guarantee we're going to be trying to invent the same thing because potentially we can't afford to not have the weapons that other people have, no matter what the weapon is.
You got
to
have it. You got to have it.
Yeah.
What did you think towards the end there? Brian was talking about being homeless. I did not know that. Clearly he was struggling there for a bit. I did like,
dude, stand-up comedy, bro.
Yeah.
Like almost everyone that starts out at some point goes through a period where they're like living in their car.
True. But I loved the fact that he said when his father dropped him off, right? Because he used to be in the military, or was it the army?
Yep. No, he was in the Marines, I think.
Okay, so when his dad drops him off and says something like, I'll see you in a week, you know, like you're never gonna make it through there. How spite, right? Out of spite, he got through it. It was like that comment from his father got him through, you know, probably the hardest few weeks of his life, or month, or however long it was.
Sometimes it doesn't matter where you get your motivation from.
But right? Spite is a good one.
Well, I heard this story once of this guy that crashed in the desert. I think he crashed in like a little plane.
Okay.
And he was like stuck in the desert, you know, just like, it was somewhere, I think, in the U.S., so it was like Joshua Tree. You know, it wasn't like the Sahara. But he recently got or started the divorce with his wife that cheated on him.
This had just happened when he crashed the plane?
No, this is a long time. Yeah, I mean, the events had, but the story is from a long time ago.
Yeah.
But the divorce hadn't finalized. And if he didn't make it out of the desert, and if he had died, his wife would have got everything.
Oh.
So he was, because there were, like, somebody was asking him, like a reporter was like, how did you make it?
That's
like,
how.
6 days without water and any, like, how did you find the energy to push through? And he's like, I fucking hate her. And she was not getting everything.
So spiteful.
And it was like.
So spiteful.
But, you know, maybe. If he had done it all with love, right? Maybe if it was like, I love my family, I've got to get back. I mean, at the end of the day, you want the most motivation.
I tell you, like, what, if he said, I love my family, and that wouldn't have got him out of the desert. He would have died in peace, right there in the desert. He would have gone straight to his next life. And he probably would have died a happy man out of love, right? But he wouldn't have made it
like,
out of the desert.
They're going to be fine, and I just cannot get the energy.
Yeah.
And
everything's going to be okay.
Each day, he's like obsessed with the thought of his wife driving his like 69 Camaro that was in the garage with a new boyfriend. And he's that's not going to happen.
Oh, that'll get you the fuck out of the desert, dude. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to end on the Oliver Anthony bit.
Okay.
So they open up listening to one of Oliver's songs. Obviously, so Oliver recently actually performed at the Comedy Mothership. Damn it. I would have paid a lot of money to have been there that night.
So cool.
What an amazing thing. And just them talking about like how down to earth he is, you know, how real he is, how he went from, you know, this problem where he was unmotivated, smoking too much weed. He kind of gave his life over to something like a higher power. And then all of a sudden becomes literally one of the most famous artists in the world, or at least for
overnight.
Now. Overnight, dude. And what we've heard a few times and kind of Rogan's alluded to, but he hasn't really gone into it, is just like the mentorship that he's given him. He's like, don't fucking sign anything. You're talented. Chill out. Wait.
Yeah.
Ride the wave. Like, you have talent. This is going to be okay. It's, in a lot of ways, something that Rogan talks about a lot. Obviously, he saw it with Chappelle and Comedy Central kind of taking over, wrecking him, overproduced shows. You know, Rogan's success in so many ways is just that he did it his way without all this interference and people telling him what to do. It takes a lot of bravery to go down that avenue, especially when someone's waving a check of $8 million in front of your face or whatever it is. And I think it's good advice. I think more people could get a lot out of listening to something like that, right?
Absolutely.
It's like often the deal sounds good and it's like, oh, maybe I'll never get it again. But these guys are prey, like they're predators and they're freaking coming at you. Right, they make the deal sound good, but it's they're just trying to capitalize on you as soon as possible. And ultimately, they, you know, these like producer type people, agents, whatever, they will change what you're doing if they think that it's going to be a headache for them or not make them more money. And that's not how, that's not what his music's about. And it, I just think it adds a lot of integrity to who he is and just makes me more of a fan for sure.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what ends up happening. Just keep making music. He doesn't seem like the type of guy that money even matters. I mean, he's got to be making money just off of those downloads. I mean, you make money off of downloads, do you not?
Yeah, for sure.
So he's probably doing okay.
Let's look him up right now.
I wanted to end it with this Steven Seagal reggae song. If we're talking about musicians, I didn't hear it.
Yes.
Apparently, Brian had it in his head all day. He was very upset about it. So, you know, maybe we start off with an Oliver Anthony song and then we go to the Steven Seagal reggae classic that I'm unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
But great couple of
Steven Seagal, dude. What a ridiculous human.
But great couple of pods. We should mention what was the pool guy's name, the professional pool player? Jeremy.
Oh yeah, he was on. Sorry, I meant to get to him. Jeremy Jones.
Jeremy Jones.
Yeah, the Jeremy Jones pod, it's like if you're like curious about pool, interested in it, or like want to know a lot about the kind of lifestyle that surrounds like pool world and moving up and the gambling portion. I mean, Joe talks about it often. If you're into that, there was a lot of good information in there, but it was very pool focused.
Yeah.
And very specific. So I enjoyed it. I thought the guy sounded awesome. He sounded like a cool dude.
Absolutely. For sure. Absolutely.
Definitely a smart guy.
The best part about that pod, I thought, was when he talked about going to Cleveland and playing these games and going to with one of his buddies, black guy, and he went into some of these older pool bars where there's like all black people there and he's like the only white dude, but it they had these gambling, you know, signs up that said no recreational games, right? So that's basically a sign that says gambling only. In a nice way.
Yeah.
And you can't bring your girlfriends in. There's no dates allowed. It's like, if you step into this pool hall, you're throwing money on the table. That was a really cool story.
It's like me and you can't go in there just drunk when you play some pool.
No, absolutely like, not.
You better have some dollar bills and be prepared to lose them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
some
cool
good stuff.
There was some good old
wild
stories.
Life, dude.
Yeah.
It's a wild life to live, but yeah, definitely worth it. And check that one out if you're interested. Yeah, guys, that's it for this week. Thank you, as always, for listening, Todd. Great stuff. And take it easy. We'll speak to you next week.
All right. Peace out, everybody. Thank you.